After years of being groomed by an older man in a youth outreach program, she was found dead in her apartment. At first, they thought she took her own life, but who does their laundry right before a hanging, especially with a baby on the way? This is the story of Sandra Birchmore, the young woman who was impregnated by a Massachusetts cop, or maybe his twin brother, and what this all has to do with Karen Reed. Hi, friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. You might already know something about this case, but there's been some new information that just came to light, and it also involves the Karen Reed trial that just ended, so I wanted to start from the beginning. I don't want to say that it's juicy and diminish all of the horrible things that happened to the victim, but this is definitely the kind of story that a tabloid would be all over. Not at first, though. At first, 23-year-old Sandra Marie Birchmore didn't show up for work for several days in February 2021. Police officers got a key from her building's property manager and found her body inside her Canton, Massachusetts apartment on February 4th. It appeared that she had taken her own life by hanging because she was sitting on the floor in front of her closet, a strap tightly tied to the door handle behind her. It was a shame. Sandra had been 10 weeks pregnant. But in 2016, her mom died after battling illness for a long time, and then her grandmother figure died suddenly only a month later, and then her aunt died of cancer in 2019. She had seen a lot of tragedy for such a young woman, so it wasn't a total surprise. But it turns out that wasn't the end of the story. Soon after Sandra's death, the Stoughton Police Department put an officer on leave. They wouldn't answer any questions about why, nor release any records about the case, though. Then in April 2022, that officer resigned amid an ongoing internal investigation. In September 2022, the department wrapped up their 19-month inquiry with news that this officer and two others had engaged in inappropriate relations with Sandra. Not only lurid text messages, but sex in their patrol cars while they were on duty. One was 50-year-old Robert C. Devine, who messaged her on Facebook using the nickname Marty Riggs, the Mel Gibson cop character from Lethal Weapon. He allegedly encouraged her to make sex tapes of herself with other men and sent her videos of himself. Another of the men was 37-year-old William T. Farwell, who sent her explicit images while on duty and tried to introduce her to other willing men. And the third, the one who had been put on leave immediately, was William's twin brother, Matthew G. Farwell. An attorney said they passed Sandra around like a toy. A fourth and fifth man were possibly involved, but they weren't named at the time. The three named men had been with the police's Explorers program, overseen by the Boy Scouts of America, where kids in the community could spend time interacting with officers. Devine ran the program and brought in the twins, former Explorers themselves, as instructors. The idea was to foster trusting relationships between teens and the police, build character, and basically recruit future officers. But for Sandra, who was only 12 when she joined in 2010, it meant being taken advantage of and then ultimately killed. The main suspect, Matthew Farwell, was a former Army man who worked for the Wellesley Police Department before joining the Stoughton Force. He was 27 years old when he began grooming 15-year-old Sandra. And the age of consent is 16 in Massachusetts, but I'm sorry, gross. Even if she was nearly 16, he was an adult and 12 years older than she was. He was also married to another woman. They had two children together and one more on the way. Obviously, Farwell said he had no role in Sandra's death and had committed no crimes. But the internal investigation showed that they had exchanged tens of thousands of messages, explicit messages, over the course of years. And in one of them, she had said, "I had butterflies so bad the day you took my virginity. It was April 10, 2013, best day of my life." Sandra was born in 1997, so she was clearly underage at the time. Farwell very romantically responded, "LOL, if pushed, I absolutely could have fucked you without condoms from day one." Later, he said he would have absolutely started fucking her in 2012 when she was 14. Family members thought Farwell was just helping Sandra with her homework at the library, but she told friends he was the father of her baby. A friend went shopping with her for a baby stroller in the weeks before her death, where Sandra revealed this to her and the fact that Farwell wasn't happy about it. Sandra said their relationship had become tense and that he had pushed her. But her cousin said Sandra was excited for the baby and felt like things were starting to come together, at least in her life, if not in her relationship with Farwell. Sandra was taking nursing classes and had her own apartment for the first time. She had contacted a photographer about doing a newborn photo shoot when the baby came and arranged for someone to take care of her cats when she was in labor. But she hadn't lined up anyone to take her cats the day she died, and she was in the middle of doing her laundry. Who starts the laundry before they end their life? Who leaves their beloved cats behind to potentially starve? Well, her family didn't think she did. They hired the former chief medical examiner for New York City to look into her death, and he came to a different conclusion than the original autopsy. In June 2024, he wrote a letter to the family's lawyer formalizing that he thought Sandra had been killed, strangled if the fractured bone in her neck was any indication. He said that this bone rarely, if ever, fractures in a hanging, but it does fracture during half the homicidal strangulation of women. And 4 days before Sandra's body was found, Farwell was captured in security footage of her apartment. Even though it was assumed that she took her own life, her property manager had the good sense to check the cameras just in case. Farwell entered the building wearing a baseball cap with his hood pulled up and a face mask on, even though this was pandemic times and he hated wearing them. He spent about 30 minutes inside and would have been the last person to see Sandra alive. According to her phone, she took her final steps just moments before he was recorded leaving the apartment building. And oh yeah, his wife gave birth to their son the very next day. There were no obvious signs of a struggle inside the apartment, which probably helped lead to the idea that Sandra hadn't been killed. But officers failed to notice the necklace that Sandra always wore was lying broken on the floor, a thing that she probably wouldn't have done herself. And women tend to move their hair aside before a hanging, but the doctor noted that in the autopsy photos, you can see where the ligature was tangled up in her hair. That ligature was tied around a doorknob to give the impression that she had done it to herself. Sandra's estate, represented by her mom's twin sister, filed a wrongful death suit in December 2022, naming the Farwell twins, Divine, the police department, and the town itself as defendants. The lawsuit said the police and the town had a duty of care to hire better people and protect minors from abuse. Farwell said that, yes, he had been to her apartment, but just to tell her it was over and this was the last time he'd see her. He said she was upset, sure, but she didn't threaten to hurt herself. And I'm like, yeah, I'll bet she didn't, Matt. You hurt her. He said he wasn't the father of her child either. And no one could really argue with that because he refused to provide a DNA sample, and I guess that was okay because none of the officers had been formally charged with any criminal wrongdoing yet. They all resigned in 2022 and were just going about their lives as the investigation continued. Farwell got his commercial driver's license and started a trucking business. But finally, in August 2024, Matthew Farwell was indicted for Sandra's murder. Court documents say he strangled her with the handle of a gym bag and then arranged the crime scene so it would look like her fault. Her friend said Sandra had a hard life and was vulnerable and easily manipulated because of it. Never mind that she was underage when it started and was being groomed by someone she thought was going to be with her and give her the family she'd always wanted. This friend said that Farwell held the idea of being a cop over Sandra's head, saying he would help get her a job when she graduated. He tracked her movements using a location sharing app and then reprimanded her when she turned it off. Sometimes he treated her well, but sometimes he was allegedly abusive, like when he pawned her off on other men and then said she needed to earn back his trust for cheating on him. When Sandra was 19 or 20, a friend said Farwell impregnated her for the first time, but Sandra didn't carry the baby to term for unknown reasons. She talked about wanting to get pregnant again and raising a family with him. So when Sandra found out Farwell's wife was pregnant in October 2020, she was jealous, and prosecutors say he agreed to give her a baby in exchange for keeping quiet about their affair. But then over time, she pressured him to be more involved in her pregnancy and delivery, and he felt like things were spinning out of control. And he was right, because even if Sandra wasn't going to report him, someone was. A friend called the police department because Sandra owed her some money and she wanted to try to get them to make Sandra pay her back. The police said that was a civil matter that they didn't handle. So out of anger, the woman spilled the beans about Farwell's relationship with Sandra. When Farwell heard about this, it supposedly made him angrier and more violent. And while Sandra was pregnant, he allegedly put her in a headlock and said he wished she was dead. During the later investigation into her death, Farwell told the state police that he didn't have sex with Sandra until 2020 and that he stopped having sex with her after October 2020, both of which the authorities knew were lies according to text messages between them. He had told her to delete that evidence at some point to cover his tracks. She said, "I did," and he replied, "Good girl." But he didn't know that her iMessages were syncing to her MacBook. Apparently, right at the end, he had suddenly stopped being negative and had become very sweet to Sandra, which had to have made her so happy. She didn't know that when he asked for a key to her apartment, it was to come and kill her. Allegedly. Farwell is in a Rhode Island detention center awaiting his trial. He's pleaded not guilty. In June 2025, anonymous sources told reporters that DNA tests on the fetus had shown that he was not the father of Sandra's unborn child. I guess he wasn't lying about that. It's unclear at this point who the father is or if authorities even know. I'm not sure how much this will change the case against Farwell, if at all. Whether or not he thought the baby was his, he still killed her, allegedly. A date for his trial hasn't been set at the time of this recording, but he faces a minimum of life in prison. He could get the death penalty. Looking back, people now think that he never should have been hired as a police officer at all. As teenagers, Farwell and his twin posed as officers, taking the trick to the point that they were pulling over cars in the white Crown Vic they bought because that's what cops drove. He's been decertified as a police officer now, but it seems like he's the type of guy who should have never been given that much power in the first place, especially over young girls. One of Sandra's criminal justice professors at college said, "Sometimes you see people come through who would crawl over glass to get their education, and she was one of those. She wasn't going to let anything get in her way." Sandra worked at Sharon Public Schools as an elementary school teacher's aide, but colleagues said she was so immature that she seemed like a child herself sometimes. She struggled with her mental health but was in therapy, and she struggled with finding her direction in life despite being so ambitious, possibly because of her ADHD. It's sad to know that her mom wrote a letter to Divine in the Explorers program in 2014, praising him for the positive influence he'd had over Sandra. By then, of course, Farwell was already sleeping with her thanks to that program. One of Sandra's friends remembers her as outgoing, friendly, loving, and so desiring of a family of her own. Her mom's husband died when he was hit by a truck, and Sandra was born a year and a half later without a father listed on her birth certificate. It bothered her that her dad wasn't in her life. And then when her mom died, it was after years and years of Sandra having to be the one to take care of her. Family members say it was like Sandra was the mom in the relationship. A sergeant in the Explorers program once wrote that it seemed like she was young, lonely, bored, and looking for someone to listen to her. A former manager at a mall security job said she wanted to be social and fit in to the point that she was slacking on the job and needed to be let go. Of course, looking for acceptance made Sandra the prime target for older men who wanted to groom her. So many of the things I learned about her just make me sad for her and just how earnest she seemed. Like, she was only 10 weeks along in her pregnancy, a period where most women aren't telling anyone about it yet. But Sandra was already buying a stroller and booking a newborn photo shoot and getting ready to send out an announcement to everyone she knew on Valentine's Day. She was so excited. To tell Farwell about the baby, which I really do assume she thought was his, she made a poster and texted him a picture of it. He responded, "I have nothing to say right now. How could you express that in a text when I said I don't appreciate it?" Imagine how this must have broken her heart. I think the interesting thing is that she had told some people the father wouldn't be part of her child's life, so it seemed like she was already prepared for the fact that Farwell would be off with his wife and his other family. But then she told other people that he was totally going to leave his wife when the time was right. She insisted that he be ready to put his name on her baby's birth certificate, and if he wasn't willing to do that, he wasn't allowed to list himself as the father of his wife's new baby. When she told him he needed to be there during her delivery, he said, "You are truly the worst person on the face of the earth." You can see that she is manipulating him a little bit, giving him ultimatums, but I really do think it was just her attempt to take back something from herself when her childhood had been stolen from her. The Stoughton police chief said, Ms. Birchmore was a vulnerable person who had one constant in her life, an unwavering admiration for police officers, of those serving in the military, people in uniform, people with oaths and duties to protect and serve. The admiration led her to form relationships with men who were willing to take advantage of her. The only mantra of good cops must be never again and never ever on my watch. Sanders' friend said, the grown-ups were all f***ing in on it. Like, who was I supposed to tell? And I think that's the way a lot of people feel. The Marshall Project has been looking into abuse and explorer programs like the one Sandra was in and has so far found almost 200 allegations of inappropriate behavior since 1974. And I mean, the authorities in this area of Massachusetts don't have the greatest reputation at the moment. Canton, where Sandra lived, is also where Karen Reed was accused of backing her SUV into her boyfriend, John O'Keefe. Many people believe the police attempted to frame her. And a state trooper who worked both cases coincidentally didn't find deleted data on witness Jennifer McCabe's phone and didn't find any text messages between Farwell and Sandra. Other investigators were later able to find over 32,000 messages between them. But prosecutors argued that nothing about Sandra's case should be allowed at Karen Reed's trial, saying it would result in a trial within a trial. The judge agreed. Whatever you think about the verdict in the Reed trial, most people agree that the police work was shameful, so it's pretty interesting that these two cases would involve the same officer. I hope justice will be served for Sandra. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.